Gospel of John, chapter number 12. In the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, we have a record of Lazarus being raised from the dead. We want to read in the 12th chapter some events that occurred as a result of Lazarus being raised from the dead. First of all, we see in verse 9 and 10 of chapter 11. That's not the right. No. 9 and 10 of chapter 12. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, speaking of Lazarus. They came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. They were planning and plotting to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they've included Lazarus in that because of the great miracle that was performed in the chapter number 11. Let's start reading in the 19th verse of chapter number 12. We'll read down through verse number 33. John 12, 19. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, "Perceive ye not, ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him." There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. We'll stop reading with verse number 33. Very clearly showing us that Jesus Christ would die on a cross. He would be crucified. All these things leading up to this led to this point. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." I want to preach today from a thought we find in verse 19. "The Pharisees therefore said unto themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." The title of my message, "The World is Gone After Him." Jesus said in verse 23, this is a change in his ministry. "The hour is come." Several times in the book of John, it talks about the hour. The hour is not yet. But now in this passage, Jesus said, "The hour is come that the Son of God," or the Son of Man, "should be glorified." Something significant here that he's leading up to. Then he uses a very simple illustration of dropping a kernel of grain into the ground and waiting until it, of course, as it says, until it dies. As long as you hold that grain of corn in your hand, it won't do anything. But you put it in the ground. You drop that kernel of corn into the ground, it will die. And if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, most of you that know anything about garden understand that. I believe they understood what Jesus was talking about to some degree. But nonetheless, he says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Jesus is speaking of his death on the cross, of crying out at the end of that time, it's finished. This is leading up to his crucifixion. But then it says in verse 32, and I, the prince of the world is going to be cast out. The world is going to be judged. But he says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Will draw all men unto me. And I'm going to preach about that this morning. The whole world's going after him. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Provokes some thought. The cross of Christ, Calvary, we sometimes refer to it as, does have a drawing power. But this passage begs a question. Has the whole world gone after Christ? You can Google Christianity and you'll see that only about 30% of the world claim to be Christian. Only the Lord knows how many of those that claim to be Christian are saved. Don't want to talk about that. But I'd like to look at this thought. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. What's he talking about? Does all mean everyone without exception? Does it mean all the Roman leaders that rejected him? Remember when Pilate was trying him, he sent him to Herod, who was the governor, and he beat him and mocked him and sent him back to Pilate to be judged. Pilate himself wanted to set the Lord free. His wife warned him, have nothing to do with this man, and he didn't want to. But Pilate condemned him to die. When the Bible says, and these are the words of our Lord, I will draw all men unto me, is he talking about everyone without exception? Well, the answer is obvious, no. But it does have a meaning. We'll try to get to that. The powers that could have released him, could have saved him from the cross, took no action. Pilate was half-hearted in his attempt, and finally he gave permission for him to be crucified. But what does this mean? Think with me back in the book of John, chapter number 3, a man named Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said to him, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He was drawn, but he didn't understand the answers of the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. Are all people drawn to Christ? The majority of the world is not Christian. All the denominations of the world have not been drawn through the cross. Does it mean that Christ failed? No, it means we didn't understand what he was talking about when he said, I'll draw all men unto me. As you study the Bible, and the New Testament particularly, it becomes clear what he's talking about. Remember when he went through Samaria and talked to the Samaritan woman? And she said, the Jews have no dealings. Why are you talking to me? The Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. He crossed some barriers there that normally wouldn't be crossed. He went through Samaria to save a woman. That's what he's talking about. I draw all men unto me. You see, Jesus Christ has some people. Many times in the scriptures, particularly in the Gospel of John, he speaks of all that the Father hath given me shall come to me. John chapter number 6. And him that cometh to me I will not cast out. But the word all here and the word world, when they said all the world is going after him, doesn't mean all without exception, with the Sadducees following him. The Pharisees were plotting to kill him. Were they following him? Well, the answer is obvious, no. Even in our text here, verse 20 says, there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Now, the Greeks were the most heathen of all the nations of the world. They had so many gods, they couldn't keep up with them. Remember Paul's message in Acts chapter 17 when he went through the area there and he said, I found a tomb marked the unknown God. They had the god of Mercurius. They had the god of Jupiter. They had the god of Mars. All these gods of the Greeks. But he's simply saying this. He's going to save some out of every tongue and nation and people. Not all without exception, but all inclusive. You see, that's a promise that he made to Abraham back in the 12th chapter of Genesis. Let's turn back there and read this. And it helps our understanding of what Jesus was talking about. Genesis chapter 12, in the first verse. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Genesis 12, 1. The Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. Now we have the advantage of looking back and we ask prayer for Israel and part of our list. They're in a mighty war right now. They're trying to be destroyed. They're fighting against it. God made of Abraham a great nation. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And God has done that and will yet do it. Thou shalt be a blessing. But notice verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God promised Abraham not only that he would make a great nation of him, the Jews, but in Abraham all the nations of the world would be blessed. And that's what Jesus is talking about in our text. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men, some out of every tongue, some out of every nation. We see that in the book of Revelation. We'll read that later. This passage and this prophecy of the Lord, as you look forward to dying on a cross, will be fulfilled completely. When we think about his ministry, the Hellenist Jewish people, or the Greek people, worshipped every kind of a false god you can imagine. But remember, Jesus went up into the area along the Mediterranean Sea, and there was a woman there who had a daughter that was possessed with a demon. She begged the Lord to heal her. She was a Syrophoenician. Now, the Syrophoenicians hated the Jews, and the Jews hated the Syrophoenicians. And remember, she begged the Lord to heal her daughter. And he said, I can't take the bread from the children and give it to the dogs. And if you know this passage, you remember what she said. Yea, Lord, even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall under the table. And Jesus said to her, for this saying, thy daughter shall be made whole. And she was. Here she was, a stranger to the Jewish nation. But she was one of the Lord's. She was one of the all that he's talking about in our text. Just turn back a few pages in John to chapter 6. John chapter number 6, and Jesus is preaching here, and he says, beginning in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Does it all mean everyone? Well, here's some that saw him and they didn't believe. Reading further, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no way cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. You see, the word all is used in different ways in translation of our Bible. Sometimes it means all without exception. Sometimes it doesn't. In our text, it doesn't mean everybody that ever hears about Jesus Christ. It means all that the Father hath given him would come to him. When you think about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, remember when he was being tried, the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests screamed and yelled and demanded, deliver unto us Barabbas. Would they come to Christ? Did they come to Christ? No, unfortunately, they died in their sins. They didn't come. They wouldn't come. They didn't want to come. They hated the Lord Jesus Christ. Crucify him, they cried. Crucify him. When Paul was before all the kings that judged him, Felix, Festus, Agrippa, all without exception, they did not come. They were great Roman leaders. They had no time for a man called Jesus. They were not part of the all. They left Paul in jail time and time again, year after year. Agrippa said, the last one we find in chapter 26 of Acts, said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But he never was persuaded. And let Paul be carried up to Rome, imprisoned there, because Paul, knowing he was being unjustly judged, demanded to appear before Caesar. And they had to grant that. But they weren't convinced. They did not fulfill what Jesus said. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, shall draw all men unto me. Now there is an influence of the cross, and that's why today you can find out that about a third of the world claims to be Christian. But that leaves an awful lot of people that have not been drawn. There are many that are drawn, but they're drawn through false teaching. They're drawn through their own thinking, their own reasoning. They don't know anything about Christ dying for their sins. They only know about being good and doing the best they can, and surely God will let me come to heaven. No. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There's no doubt there. There's no room for any argument. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. When Paul was on Mars Hill for all of those philosophers and all those, the wisest of the Jews, and he preached, you'll find as you get to the end of chapter 17, they turned away except a few. All those Epicureans and those philosophers, those wise men of Athens, Greece, they didn't come. We'll hear thee again on this matter. Who would be drawn? John tells us in verse 44, we didn't read this, but let's go back to John 6. No man can come to me. These are the words of the same man that said, if I be lifted up, the earth will draw all men unto me. He says further here, no man can come to me except it were given unto him. I'm sorry, I read it wrong. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No man can come. He doesn't have the ability. He doesn't have the desire. He doesn't want to come unless the Father draws him. Now look at the next verse. It is written in the prophets. And you find this in Isaiah 54:13. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Who is included in the all in John 12? When he was talking about being crucified and being lifted up from the earth and drawing all men. He wasn't talking about all without exception. Most of the world is unchristian. They don't care a thing about Christ. He wasn't talking about them. He was talking about all that the Father would give him should come. And the Father would draw them, the Father would teach them, and the Father would bring them to Christ. And as you look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see that happening time and again. I love about old Zacchaeus up in the tree. The Lord walked under that tree and he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. There was one of the all. He was a tax collector. He cheated people, but he promised if he taken anything by cheating, he would give it back fourfold because the Lord saved him. So, beloved, as you read these scriptures, and sometimes you may be a little misled by people believing that God's not going to send anybody to hell. Eventually, everybody will be delivered from hell. That's false. It's a lie. Hell was designed for the devil and his angels, but there are going to be a lot of people there because they will not come to Christ that they might have life. They will not be taught of God. They can sit and listen and hear the word of God being preached, but it has no effect on them. Who would be drawn? Not all, without exception. And yet, in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, we read that to you. The Bible teaches, in Abraham shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You see, it was through Abraham that God brought Christ into the world, through his seed. You can find that in the Gospel of Luke. You find the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It goes all the way back to David and Abraham. It comes all the way down to Joseph and Mary. Yes. But you'll find him also, as I said, under the tree in the 19th chapter of Luke, calling down a man. Zacchaeus, come down. I must abide at your house today. And on we could go. John 6, verse 65, notice the words of the Lord further on in the same chapter. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Many went away from him. Many of his disciples that had been following. When he began to teach doctrine that they didn't understand, or doctrine they didn't want to hear, doctrine they didn't like, they went away from him. So much so that Jesus had to say to them, to the 12, will you also go away? And of course, Simon in verse 67 says, verse 68, then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? That's the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? Where can we go? So as you look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he says shortly before his death, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Don't misunderstand it to think everybody's coming, because they're not. Some don't want to come. You think the people in these false religions care anything about coming to Christ? No, they don't. Furthest thing from their mind. But look at the thief on the cross, ready to die, would die in just a few hours. already nailed to the tree. And he looks at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. There's one of the all. Because Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Look at Paul, the persecutor. Devout Jew, hated the Lord Jesus Christ, hated his teachings, hated everything about him. But on the road to Damascus, the Lord taught him. The Father taught him. Jesus called upon him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And all Paul could answer was, who art thou, Lord? Who are you? And the answer was, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Paul watched the stoning of that first deacon in the church there in Jerusalem. And he never got over it. He was kicking against the pricks. He would kick and it hurt him more than it did whoever he kicked. And the Lord saved him. Look at the maniac of Gadara. Had so many demons in him that you couldn't count them. There's one of the alls. Look in Revelation with me, chapter 5, verse number 9 of the fifth chapter of Revelation. As we see this coming to a consummation eventually. The book of Revelation, of course, is a revelation of Jesus Christ. But this picture in Revelation chapter number 5, start reading in verse number 8. And when he had taken the book, speaking of Christ, taken the book out of the hand of the Father, the four beasts, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song. They sung a new song. Brother Galley sung a new song Saturday at the meeting. Really touched my heart. His aunt had written a song. The title of it was No Man Careth for My Soul. Taking a course in the words of David when he was running for his life. But she wrote that song many years ago and he sang it the first time I'd ever heard it. The words are so touching. I begged him, said, next time you're at our church, you sing that. So you all help me hold him to it. He said he would. No man careth for my soul. Reading again, they sung a new song. Verse 9. Saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. And I, if I be lifted from the earth, will draw all men unto me. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. There's the all. The word doesn't mean particular individual. It means nations. It means tongues. It means that he's going to save people out of every nation on the face of the earth, out of every tongue on the face of the earth. That's what this is saying. Redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. There will be one of every nation in heaven. That's the all that he was talking about. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Yes, Jesus was telling the truth. Problem is, we sometimes don't understand what he's saying. He didn't promise to save every individual that was ever born. That's heresy. That's damnable doctrine. The commission of God that he's given us says go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. Why is it worded like that? Go make disciples. All the world, because he has some people in all the nations. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, the The cross of Christ has changed the world drastically. Think of the many people in his ministry that he touched. The blind man in John chapter 9, one of the most touching chapters in John's gospel. Man was blind from his birth. Jesus made a mud pack out of his spit and the mud, and he put it on his eyes and told him to go wash in a pool of Siloam, and he did. And he came seeing. He came seeing. They couldn't believe it. They asked him, "Who did this?" He said, "I don't know." Jesus had to reveal himself to him. At the end of that chapter, he reveals himself to him. "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" "Yes, I believe." That's one of the all. On and on you can go as you read the scriptures. Lame people. The man with a withered hand in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus told him to stretch forth his hand. He couldn't stretch forth his hand before, but suddenly he can stretch forth his hand because he's one of the all. Let's read Matthew 11. This is not limiting who can be saved. It's telling us that some are going to be saved. Matthew chapter number 11. Start reading with me on verse number 28. "Come unto me." Here's the invitation. And it's to all without exception. We read that in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. "Whosoever will, let him come." The problem is not with permission. The problem is with desire. The problem is with ability. They don't want to come. They don't desire to come. They'd rather go on in their sin and their wickedness. But Jesus said, "Come unto me." "All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." There's the all. All who are heavy laden. Verse 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Who will come? Those who respond to his invitation to come. "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." The reason most people won't come to Christ, they don't want anything to do with religion. It's too restrictive. They don't want to go to church 3 times a week. They don't want to serve the Lord. They got other things going on. But Jesus said, "My yoke is easy." He didn't give us a yoke that's heavy. I'll tell you, until the yoke gets easy, you don't know what you're missing. You can try to serve the Lord, and it's burdensome to you. And you go, "Oh me, it's Sunday again. We're going to have to go to church." That's not an easy yoke. But Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's not hard to serve the Lord when you understand that you're one of the all. You understand you've been taught of the Father. You understand he hung on that cross for your sins. He paid the debt that you could not pay. John 17, verse 2 and 3. We're getting near the end of the message. Just follow these next few verses. John 17, this is a prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ shortly before they took him and imprisoned him and took him to be beaten and judged. John 17, verse 2. Well, let's read verse 1. "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father," here it is again, "the hour has come." That's what he said in chapter 12. "The hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." Verse 2, "as thou hast given him power over all flesh." Every person that's ever been born is under the power of the Lord Jesus Christ without exception. Doesn't matter what religion, doesn't matter what nationality, doesn't matter what tongue, doesn't matter anything. He has power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. There's the all. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Seven times in this chapter, Jesus repeats this statement, as many as thou hast given me, as many as thou hast given me. So who is the all? In John 12, when he spoke of his dying on a cross, he was dying for specific people. They're called all in a general sense. Everyone that came to him in the days of his ministry, the thief, the maniac, Gadara, out of his mind with demons. But when Jesus cast the demons out, the Bible says he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Yes? All that thou hast given me shall come to me. Now let me close with a question. How has Calvary affected you? Has it had any impact upon you? Has he drawn you? Do you listen? Does it bother you? Are there troublings in your heart and your mind when you hear about Christ dying for sinners? Do you wonder, did he die for me? Am I a part of that all? John 6:44. You cannot come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. He does draw. You know how he draws? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What we're doing right now is a means that God has of drawing people to the Lord Jesus Christ and to Calvary. Drawing you to see him there, giving his life for you personally. Coming into this world to redeem you from your sins. Coming all the way from heaven to earth to lay down a life, a perfect life, that he might deliver you from the wrath to come. Has it affected you at all? Does it bother you that you're still in your sins? It should. You see, the all can include you. There's no exclusion there. The problem is not with God. The problem is not with the invitation. The problem's with you. You don't want it. That's the truth. That's the plain, simple truth. Because I will tell you this, when you want it, when you really want it, you can have it. Old Testament scriptures, New Testament scriptures all teach the same thing. Hebrews, Romans chapter number 9. Let's turn to read this and we'll close the message. Paul preaching to the saints at Rome. Probably at the same time he was prison there, maybe from another location, but he wrote these words, and I want to read them to you in closing the message. Verse 13, chapter 10, Romans. See, the problem's not with God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you want to be saved, you will be saved. But when God works on you, one of the things he does, and he draws you, he brings you to the point you want this more than anything in the world. Those of you here that are saved, you know when you walk down that aisle to profess faith in Christ, you know what was on your mind. I want to be saved. I want to have peace. I want this burden lifted from me. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? The fact that I'm a preacher brings me a lot of scorn and mockery at times, but that's all right. They mock the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no big thing if they mock me. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Next verse says they've not all obeyed, and they haven't. And they won't. Many people will leave this life, have already left this life, rejecting Christ, the only hope of every man. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. If you're one of the all, we give you the opportunity this morning to make that known. I believe if you're one of the all, you want everybody to know it. I know I did. I wanted everybody to know that God had saved me, that I had peace. I tried many, many times to find peace with God in many, many revival meetings. All that I knew, I tried, but it wouldn't work because I didn't understand. Christ was the Savior, not me. He died that I might live. He satisfied God for everything I could never satisfy Him for. So this morning, as we close this message, are you one of the all? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. God will never cast you out. If you really want to be saved, surrender to him. Not to me, not to the church. It's between you and God. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word. And I do pray that the Holy Spirit would be pleased to convict someone here this morning that's unsaved. But may your will be done, not ours. And forgive us, Father, our many shortcomings. And bless this message for the glory of Christ, we pray in his name.